text tonight is just one verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and verse number 12. It says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Again, the first part of that verse says, fight the good fight of faith. Before we get into our message, let's pray and ask God to bless it. Lord, thank you again for the scriptures. Lord, there are so many who live by the philosophies and the principles and the teachings of mere men. And Lord, I'm glad that we don't have to follow the philosophies of men that change from day to day, year to year, generation to generation. But Lord, we are able to follow the counsels of the Creator God, the one who formed us, the one who has given us life. Thank you, Lord, for thy word. And Lord, I believe that the principles that this book teaches are more valuable than silver or gold, more precious than rubies. And so help us, Lord, to love this book, to read this book, to study it, and to pattern our lives after it. And Lord, as we look at our text tonight, might you help us to glean some things that would help us to be faithful to the fight that you've called us to. Might we, as it says here in this text, fight the good fight of faith. So bless this message, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The journey of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is characterized in many different fashions throughout the scriptures. His or her journey is portrayed sometimes as a soldier in a battle, a steward in a business, a husbandman in the field, an ambassador in the world, a runner in a race, and many, many other things. And I would like to take one of these characterizations and look at it tonight, perhaps one that's a little more unknown to many of us, and that is the fighter or the boxer. Seems like a lot of my messages here recently are all tied together, but even as I thought about that, I realized that many of you have not been here and are not unable to be here for some of my messages, in particular on Wednesday evenings, but we've been looking at different things at the last part of 1 Corinthians, the last chapter, chapter number 16. Those texts have kind of captured my attention as we've concluded our study of 1 Corinthians. We've looked at verse 13, I believe it is, that it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." Four different phrases, but the meanings of those phrases are very significant for those of us who seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And this last Wednesday we looked at what it might mean to be addicted to the ministry. And I don't know how helpful that message was to those who were present, but you know, just kind of thinking and meditating on that message a little bit further, I think it's a rather significant message, or would be to many, especially those who used to be addicted to the ministry and have overcome their addiction. And that's unfortunate. And by the way, just in case, because you weren't there, some of you, I'll just go ahead and give you the remedy for getting back into this addiction of the ministry. Just get around it again. You know, they tell an addict, you know, if he's had a problem with a certain substance like liquor, you better stay completely away from it. Don't have any in the house. Don't go to the bars. Don't fellowship with people who drink liquor, because you're very likely to pick it up again and begin to drink. And once you do, it has you again in its clasps. Well, again, if you need to be addicted to the ministry and you've lost that addiction, get in the Bible. Study the Bible. Listen to preaching. Go to revival meetings. Start serving the Lord. Passing out tracts. And it will grab a hold of you once again. And you'll become an addict. But again, in those messages, I know I quoted a couple things from Rocky, and he was a fighter in the movies. He was a boxer, and so it seems like maybe this message will be somewhat tied to that message. I don't know. But again, here in our text, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Many of us understand other portraits given to us in the Bible. We understand and can see ourselves as a runner striving for the finish line. We can see ourselves as a farmer planting seed throughout the fields. We can see ourselves as stewards giving of our time and treasure to the Lord. But sometimes I'm afraid it might be difficult for us to put ourselves in the shoes of a boxer, of a fighter. How can we fight the good fight of faith? I've chosen four texts that deal with fighting, that deal with a boxer. And as we look at these different passages, I hope that we will find truths that will help us to understand how we might fight the good fight of faith. Perhaps the one that's most familiar to everyone is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 24, it really begins talking about a runner, but that's not the only type of athlete that's referenced in this text. It also references the boxer, the fighter, as we'll see. But verse 24 says, "Know ye not, they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" And then the application is, "So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." In other words, he exercises self-control and discipline. "Now they do it." Again, talking about these worldly athletes. Why do they exercise discipline? Why do they exercise temperance? Why do they restrain themselves so that they might obtain a corruptible crown? But it says, "But we an incorruptible." You just can't argue with the logic of the Scriptures, can you? You know, when you're dealing with people and talking to them about the Lord and things of the Bible, just point to the Bible. Read the principles. They speak for themselves. When you understand that there is a God, there is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a judgment seat of Christ, and you read this principle, you understand how much more significant it is for you and I who are in a race, in a fight for the faith, ought to be temperate. We ought to be much more temperate, much more zealous in our temperance, in our discipline, in our sacrifice, when we are going after an incorruptible crown, one that doesn't fade away, one that lasts forever, one that has eternal consequences. He says then in verse 26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainty," and here's the phrase we want to focus on, "so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." He's not shadow boxing. He's not swinging haphazardly at things that don't exist. He knows precisely what he's doing. He has an aim. He has a purpose. And that's the first truth I want to focus on. If you want to know how to fight the good fight of faith, you need to first have purpose. Know what you're doing. The world calls it having goals. And until you have goals, you'll not have purpose, and you'll unlikely create methods to fulfill your goals. Have a goal. Have a purpose. As a Christian, know what it is. And we talk about that often, how our purpose as an individual in a ministry is to glorify God. But, you know, go beyond that. Understand what your goals are beyond that, and not just the four things that we put in our bulletin week after week. I mean, those are a part of knowing what our purpose is: winning the sinner, discipling the saved, perfecting the saints, contending for the Scriptures. Know those things, but even go beyond that. because there's much more to life. You can get much more specific than those four categories. You can begin to break down those four categories. As parents, how are we going to win our children? That ought to be one of our primary goals in life, is to ensure that our children get saved. How are we going to do that? We're going to go to church faithfully. We're going to have family devotions faithfully. We're going to pray for our children faithfully. You see, have purpose. Have a goal. And then set about a means by which you can obtain your goal. Here it speaks in this text of the mastery, which means being on top, being the best, being the winner, being the champion. And recently in one of my messages, I talked about it's not important that we be better than everybody else, but it is important that we be the best that we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what's meant by the mastery. Doing the very best that we can. We have a prize that we are trying to obtain. We are trying to be met with the Lord's approval. We want Him to approve of our lives and how we're living them, don't we? I mean, ultimately, that's what we want, and at least I know that's what I want when I am ushered into heaven in the presence of my Savior and King. I want to be met with His approval. I want Him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I hope that's what each and every one of you want. Imagine the scene we have before us here in regards to these athletes. Someone has spent countless hours, put forth enormous efforts, exercised a great deal of temperance and dedication and sacrifice to obtain a crown. And now here he is at the brink of winning the mastery. I feel sorry for people who have never been a part of something where there is an ultimate prize to claim, because it would be hard for you to understand this. The Illinois High School Wrestling Championships were last weekend. Praise the Lord for IHSA TV. They're all online now. And some of those guys, they get kind of excited when they win a state championship. Some of them do backflips. I'm surprised they have the energy to do that. But why? Because, you know, from the time they were 6 years old, they've been wrestling with one goal in mind: to win the state championship. And so when they do, they're pretty excited about it. Again, if you want to fight the good fight of faith, you need to know what your goal is. You think those wrestlers, you think these athletes that are in view in this text, the runner, the boxer, you think they don't know what they're trying to accomplish? They know what they're trying to accomplish. They're trying to win. Win. To get to the top. To be the best. And so they study their opponents. By the way, it's something we need to do. Study our opponent, study our adversary, which is the devil, knowing that he seeks to destroy us, seeks to destroy our children. Know how he operates, know how he works, so that he doesn't get the victory over you. We understand the devil wants to steal the Word of God from our hearts and minds, especially if we're lost, but I think he wants to do it to everybody. He doesn't want us to know what the Bible teaches. He doesn't want us to be grounded in the faith. He wants us to be wishy-washy. Don't let that happen. You know, we knocked on somebody's door today and she claimed to be saved and used to attend Victory Baptist Church, but now she occasionally goes to the Calvary Temple there in Clinton. And I'm thinking to myself, that's kind of a contradiction, isn't it? I'm thinking, how can you go to one church which teaches something entirely different than the charismatic church? Of course, as I encounter those types of things, I, I have worries in the back of my mind. Could that type of thing ever happen to someone at Shepherdsville Baptist Church? Have I done my duty explaining the differences between these two different types of churches? I mean, Victory Baptist is a Southern Baptist church, but they preach the gospel. They preach believers' baptism. Teach that the revelatory gifts have ceased. And Calvary Temple teaches something much different. I'm saying be grounded. Know your adversary. Know the tactics that he uses, because if he can keep you from becoming grounded in the faith, he can just squash your growth in Christ and you'll never amount to anything for Jesus. That's exactly what happens to the believers there that are addressed in Hebrews 5 and 6. He wanted them to go on into perfection, but they never did. You know why? Because they kept being zealous for the Lord, and then they'd cool off and they'd go back into the world. And then repent of their dead works, repent of doing nothing for God, get back up on the horse and start riding again. And they just repeated the cycle over and over and over again. Christians need to get settled. They need to get stable. They need to be grounded in the Bible, faithful to church, and then go on unto perfection. There's a lot more to following Christ than those things I just mentioned. Once we get grounded and we're faithful and we're stable, then we begin to serve. We begin to understand how to serve more effectively. Begin to understand how to allow charity to abound. And a number of other things. Know your purpose. Know your goal. Know what you want to accomplish. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 then. Verse 4 says, "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus." Notice there towards the end of verse number 5, it says, "Without were fightings, and within were fears." The Apostle Paul, here in this text, talks about the many tribulations that he faced and his companions. How they had no rest. They were troubled on every side. Without, there were fightings. Fightings going on. You might liken that unto punches for the boxer. There were punches coming from the right and punches coming from the left and punches coming up from below through the uppercuts. Just people swinging, trying to knock him out. So if you're going to fight a good fight, just a good physical fight, you know you're going to have to be able to withstand the punches. And if you're going to fight the good fight of faith, you're going to have to be able to withstand the punches. Because the devil and the world and your old flesh is going to throw everything at you it can. I brought my Rocky quotes again. Come up with some more Rocky quotes. Rocky was going to fight Apollo Creed for the first time. Just a movie. Just fiction. We can learn something from it. Nobody had ever went the distance with Apollo Creed. But Rocky wanted to be the first. He said, it don't really matter if I lose this fight. It really don't matter if this guy opens my head. He said, because all I want to do is go the distance. Nobody's ever gone the distance with Creed. And if I can go that distance, and that bell rings, and I'm still standing, I'm going to know for the first time in my life I weren't just another bum from the neighborhood, that I was somebody. He wanted to be able to withstand every punch. The other quote I quoted a couple weeks ago, he said to his son later on in one of these movies, he said, the world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees, and it will keep you there permanently if you let it. You and me and nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't how hard you hit, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, about how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. You got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or because of nobody. He says cowards do that. And we ought not to be cowards. We ought to be able to withstand everything the devil throws at us. Be able to withstand everything the world throws at us. If we want to fight the good fight of faith, we have to take those punches and keep taking them. And if you get knocked down, you get back up. And if you get knocked down again, you get back up. Because every night that bell is going to ring, ding, ding. And the round's over. But fortunately, we get to start fresh and new every day. Every day. Or as Pastor Hendricks told me one time, he said, it's all right to quit. He said, quit every night and go to bed. And then get back up in the morning and start all over again. You want to fight the good fight of faith? Know your purpose. Take the punches. And then if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Apostle Paul coming to the end of his life. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. As I said before, three different phrases, all really saying the same thing in a little bit different way. To the fighter, it says, I have fought a good fight. To the runner, it says, I have finished my course. And to the child of God, it says, I have kept the faith. They all mean the same thing. Again, you want to be a good fighter, you got to be able to go the distance. You got to be able to go the 15 rounds or whatever it is and hear that final ring and still be standing in the middle of that square. And that's what's involved in us being able to fight the good fight of faith. We not only need to know our purpose, we not only need to be able to take the punches, but we need to go the distance. Not throw in the white towel. Because the only way a believer can be knocked out is if they allow themselves to be knocked out. Think of the Apostle Paul here. Looking at his missionary journeys and such in our adult Sunday school class. And this morning we looked at how he was set to go into Jerusalem. The people tried to discourage him, don't go there because bounds await you. Even Agabus the prophet told him that. But he said that doesn't matter. I'm ready to go to Jerusalem and be bound. They take my life. I'm going to Jerusalem. You know, I believe the Apostle Paul knew what lay ahead for him. He had one last thing that needed to be fulfilled before he had run his course, because God told him in Acts chapter 9 that he would bear witness of him before Gentiles, before the people of Israel, and before kings. And he had not yet, up to that point, bear witness or given a testimony to kings. But now that he was in Jerusalem, he was going to be bound, and then he would be led from place to place. He would be seen by one political leader after another, Felix, Festus, Agrippa, and he would be able to give those men a gospel witness, and thereby fulfilling God's call for his life. And because he had done all that, he had done just as God required of him, preached to the Jews, the Gentiles, and even kings and those in authority. He says, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. You see, he didn't only admonish others to fight the good fight of faith. He did it himself. And he could lay down his gloves at the end of his life, knowing that he did his duty. I was listening to 50-year-olds talk about how your perception of things changes when you get that age. I mean, I'm a long ways from that. But it really begins to change at the age of 42. Your life has got to be half over by then, right? According to the Bible. I think I was telling one of you here recently, you could tell young people till you're blue in the face how things are going to change and how they're going to look at things differently as they grow in years, but they'll never comprehend and understand it. Not until they experience it. But you young people understand there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to think, wow, so much of my life is already over. Have I done anything significant for the Lord? Have I wasted my life? Or have I been faithful? It's going to come. And I tell you, that's why it's so important for you young people to give your lives to the Lord now. Because you know what? When you get to be 40, Lord willing, you get to be 50, Lord willing, you're going to be able to say, you know what? I have been serving God. I've made mistakes. Maybe I've fallen down a few times, but I've served God, and I just keep going. And as I look back and I reflect, God has used me to touch people's lives, to see people saved, to encourage Christians, and I am so grateful. Now for the rest of us, because none of us have reached 50 yet, there's going to come a time where we're going to be 50 if the Lord tarries his coming. And there's going to be a time when we're 70. We may not physically be able to do much for the Lord. We ought to be doing it now then, while we can, so that we don't have regrets as we grow older. Go the distance. Go the distance. I know I said in one of my recent messages, like Rocky, I just want to be able to make it through this life. When the 15 rounds are up, I just want to know that I'm still standing, that I'm still in the fight, that I'm still in the battle, because there are times, frankly, that I am tired, I am wore out, I'm exhausted, I'm about to faint. The punches keep coming. But with those punches, God always gives a good degree of grace. You want to fight the good fight of faith? Have a purpose. Take the punches. Go the distance. And then in the end, I believe you'll receive the prize. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. It says, and what shall I say? And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. And then notice this phrase, waxed valiant in fight. turned to flight, the armies of the aliens. Here we have the Hall of Faith chapter, and it ends in part by recognizing those who fought valiantly. They fought with valor. They were brave. If we fight the good fight of faith, if we fight with valor, one day God will be pleased with what we've done with our lives. You know, it's encouraging. There's lots of things that could discourage this preacher. You know, the lack of the type of fruit I'd like to see, the lack of attendees in our church. There's lots of things that could discourage me. But I tell you one thing that just greatly encourages me. And it's everybody who goes out soul winning. All you young people. I know that's not easy. It's not easy for me. I mean, you're going to go and you're going to knock on doors, and you know, for the most part, you are not going to be well received. For the most part, people aren't going to want to spend much time talking to you. But you've listened to what your pastor has to say, and you believe it is your responsibility and your duty and even your privilege to go out and to hand out tracts in hopes that some will end up coming here, or perhaps some would get saved. And it encourages me that this church almost as a whole went out today to spread the good news. Spread the good news of the gospel. I think that takes valor. I think it takes bravery. I know a couple of you are probably just as shy as me, if not more, but yet you go right up there and you knock on doors, hand out literature and tell people about Jesus. Maybe it's a small thing to some, but it's something that greatly encourages this pastor. And so I would say to you, keep fighting. Just keep fighting. Just keep serving the Lord. Know that your aim and your purpose is to please the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And no matter what other people say about you, if they say you're old-fashioned, if they say you're narrow-minded, if they say you're backwards and archaic, you just keep fighting. Because all those are the punches of the enemy swinging at you left and right, trying to knock you down, trying to knock you out. Don't you let them. You just keep taking the punches. And you finish your course. You go the distance, because I tell you what, if you go the distance, when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, you're never going to regret that. But if the punches get too tough and you quit, you'll regret that. So fight the good fight of faith. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this short exhortation that's given to us in the book of 1 Timothy. Lord, may we indeed strive to fight the good fight of faith. Lord, may we know what our purpose is, and might it be to glorify you, to please you with our lives. Lord, may we be able to withstand the punches that the devil and the world throw at us. Might we, Lord, each of us, be able to go the distance, not being knocked out, not quitting anywhere along the way. And then, Lord, when we stand before you, might we indeed hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Bless this message as it's went forth. Use it, I pray, God, for your glory and for the good of your people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. And let's turn to hymn 393, "Where He Leads Me." 393.